All right.
I'm taking it.
I'll take it.
Good, okay, good. You take it.
It's time for New Music Tuesday on The Big Show, and today we're answering some big questions. For example,
can disco make a comeback?
What happened to Rye Cooter out on the Salt Flats?
What's the best way to let all the ladies know you've got an Academy Award?
Can Sigur Rós fans hand a little bit of change from their Icelandic demigods?
Julianne Shepherd, senior editor of the music magazine The Fader, is in our studio to help us with the heavy lifting and to answer these big questions. Hey, Julianne.
Hey, how you doing?
We are doing well. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
So we're going to start with the BPP's favorite band, Sigur Rós.
Yes.
Icelandic band whose fifth album is, I understand, a little bit of a departure.
Yes, it is actually a lot of a departure, which for me, I'm kind of glad about. I feel like they were kind of getting into a rut where they were doing the, you know, epic, sprawling, glockenspiel, whatever, whatever, so well that, you know, they were kind of like flatlining. So they've teamed up with the music producer Flood, who, you know, is known for doing like Nine Inch Nails and Jesus and Mary Chain and kind of, you know, Erasure, a little bit on the gothy end of things. Mm-hmm. And he's sort of given them this, I mean, I would say it's almost like a little bit like prog. I feel like some of the songs are like kind of prog influence. They're very more intricate in their structure.
Okay, well, before we get a sense of the album, I need to inform you about the title of the album, which unfortunately I am incapable of doing, even as a literate person. I'm not even going to attempt this. Icelandic. Good thing we have a little help from Sigur Rós's own MySpace page.
Með suð í eyrum við spilum endalaust.
Með
suð í eyrum við spilum endalaust.
Yeah, just like that. Okay, let's move from there to the music. Let's hear a little bit of what's happening on this song called something I can't
remember. Inni mér syngur vitleysingur.
That's this.
That's the one.
So the name of that song translates in English roughly to, with a buzz in our ears, we play endlessly. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the album title. And so,
yeah, I was going to say, it's translated that song.
Clearly. Oh,
your rudimentary Icelandic is just,
I know,
embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. So, Julianne, I understand, with a couple exceptions, the song on this record hover around the 4-minute mark,
yes,
which is far shorter than
it's almost
the
like
average.
Pop. It's crazy.
Is that, does that suit them?
I think it does. Like I said, I feel like they were kind of in a rut and they were doing like these sprawling 8-minute like sort of zone outs. And I think that, you know, it's kind of nice for them to like experiment around with like pop song structure, if you can call it that. You know, it's you know, the glockenspiel is much nicer in condensed format, I feel.
The little spiel goes a long way.
Zing.
Sigur Rós fans are, let's just say, notoriously protective of their band and its mm-hmm. sound. How do you think people are going to respond to this?
Well, I mean, I do think that this actually might garner them more fans. The one thing that I keep coming back to when I listen to all of, not all of them, but most of the music on this album, is that they kind of are starting to sound a little bit like Animal Collective to me.
Mm.
Yeah. And I think that's actually kind of a good thing. You know, you can only have so much, you know, long song things. But I do think that whatever they do, their fans will still ride with them.
How do you say panda bear in Icelandic?
Ooh, good question.
Yeah, we don't know.
All right, let's move on. 3-6 Mafia.
Yes.
The new CD is Last Two Walk. I'd like to point out that the middle word in all those phrases is a number. So if you could do your review in that same format, that would
be
good.
Shout to Prince.
Right. Was it good for you?
Yes.
Oh, clever. Did
you, I ate it up. That's what
I'm saying. Oh, good
one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So let's do a little backstory. So if people do know the 3-6 Mafia, it's probably because they saw him on like the biggest telecast of the year, the Oscars a few years back. They won for their song, Heart Out There for a Pimp from Hustle and Flow. But before they even showed up on the TV screens and before that in the cinemas, there was a lot to this group, right?
Yes. They have been long time. They've been around since 1991. They've been not toiling in Memphis, where they're from, but definitely, you know, they started out as an underground group. And then just, you know, as Southern rap became bigger, kind of, you know, spread out a lot. But they have been around forever.
And in the past, you know, they've had different members of the group, but now it's kind of just a core of two. They got the producer, Juicy J, and DJ Paul. So what do? Do they produce and rap? Do they hire other guys to do instrumentation? How's the breakdown of labor going these
days? Yes, this is classic 3-6 Mafia. It's all them. And, you know, it's a little bit different because on their last album, Most Known Unknown, which produced a couple big hits in 2005, Stay Fly, which was really fast, and Popped My Collar, which is known for the long sort of end kala, which, you know, made
really
it into
good,
the
Mike.
Lexicon.
Luckily,
yeah,
I wore a poppable
it.
Collar. If I had my Nehru jacket, that wouldn't have worked.
But it's early in the morning.
Yeah.
you know, this is like, there's a lot of sampling and a lot of like fast Southern sort of like, you know, Jeep beats.
Yeah, because I think a lot of the Southern rap I'm used to, like the Houston sounds a little slower sometimes.
Right, no, definitely,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
This is all like super fast.
Cool.
There's a Tchaikovsky sample on one of the songs,
the
Sugar Plum Fairies.
The canon part of 1812? Oh, no.
No. Sugar Plum Fairies. But, you know, this is a sort of classic thing where they will sample, you know, like pretty well-known sort of
right. Epic. Everyone knows Sugar Plum.
I can't sing, but
we know. Yeah. From Nutcracker. Anyway, so they also get not only Tchaikovsky, but they got Chamillionaire on this song that we're going to hear now, Doughboy Fresh. Let's hear a little 3-6 Mafia.
Yeah. Hypnotized Minds. 3-6 Mafia. Academy Award winners. What?
You guys, I wish everyone could have seen that. Julianne and Mike were really getting the groove on.
Yeah.
Get a little bounce in there.
We should point out, we didn't edit that because they were cursing. It just sounds that staccato-y. There weren't a bunch of edits in the middle of it. Yeah. So it turns out they won an Oscar. Who knew?
The intro is so amazing. Academy Award, what?
I love them. They had a lot of energy, a lot more energy than everyone else this year. But overall, I mean, what do you think of the album? Does it work for you?
I do like it, but I don't think that this is going to be, you know, people who got put onto them with Most Known Unknown and their Oscar are probably not really going to get into it. It gets into the, like, sort of, you know, this is, like I said, this is classic 3-6 Mafia, but there's not really a hit. They do have a single out called Lolly Lolly Pop That Body, but it's not, it, you know, some fans are kind of accusing them of selling out because it has T-Pain on it, which is obviously, like, you know, the key to getting a song on the radio.
Yeah, or making a lollipop reference, which seems to be something that the rap world is not lacking for these days.
Hey.
You got your Fitty, you got your Lil Wayne. It's all lollipops and candy stores and
everyone wants
Candyland
sugar.
And the sugar plum fairies.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Gumdrop Falls.
Oh, someone is going to sample that Def Leppard song. You know it.
Yeah. So Hercules and Love Affair is our next stop. This is a self-titled debut, New York dance group. Hercules and Love Affair. Critics are loving this. It's not just a good disco album. People who have listened to it are kind of taking this thing to the next level. They're calling Hercules leader Andrew Butler a compelling new voice in American dance music. What is this American dance music they speak of? might we call it disco?
Oh, yes, I believe so.
Uh-huh. And it's kind of a very New York disco sound, what are the words to define that?
I mean, I feel like that what they're doing is sort of a resurgence of, like, the 90s downtown disco, like, gay vanguard thing, except for instead of downtown, it's Brooklyn now. But I really feel like them and the people surrounding DFA and especially Hercules and Love Affair are kind of, like, bringing it back. There's a lot of, like, throwback 90s disco and freestyle sounds, like a lot of cowbell.
All right. That's a lot of talking about the song. Let's listen to Blind, features the singer Anthony of Anthony and the Johnsons.
As a child, I knew that the stars could only get brighter.
Has a very unique voice.
I would like, we have to mention that he's Anthony of Anthony and the Johnsons. I feel like this is the kind of guy that if I mispronounce his name might come down to the studio and possibly bitch slap me. I don't know. So what do we think of Blind? What do we think of Anthony and his pals Hercules and Love Affair?
I mean, I think it is a very solid album. I think that, like I said, it is sort of a resurgence of this old disco sound, but it's got a lot of new influences to it. And Anthony, I mean, you know, his voice is unmistakable, obviously. they also have a couple other singers. There's a really wonderful woman named Kim Ann Foxman who has a lower voice and kind of takes it down a little bit more.
Lower than Anthony. Interesting.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know how to phrase this without being insulting, so I won't use the phrase I was going to say, but is there an element of whimsy or what I mean is it Anthony, is that sort of a joke?
What?
Is there
that's a name?
No. The way he's singing, it seems almost like we're supposed to be laughing with him, maybe with him. Am I reading it wrong?
I mean, I don't, you know, he sings every song like this. He's got that sort of warble thing. I don't think it's meant to be funny. I think it's just sort of dramatic, but I do think he's rooted in, like, cabaret a little bit.
Yeah. It seems like he's, with every phrase, throwing his scarf dramatically across his shoulder.
You basically summed it up.
Okay, so that's it. So that's not the joke, but it's the persona.
With our last minute or so, we're going to take a turn to Rye Cooter. The latest album is called I Flathead. This is kind of a major opus. He's written a book to go along with this thing that tells the story of his alter ego, who he's apparently going by the name of Cash Buck. Is this is an elaborate way to say what? What's he trying to say with this big opus?
Well, this is actually the third in a trilogy. It's sort of this Joan Didion-esque California trilogy. Mm-hmm. And I think what he's trying to say with this one is kind of to talk about, you know, how the idea of, like, the American dream and California and Western expansion has actually failed in country music form.
Okay, let's get a sense of what's going on here with Mr. Cooter. This song,
or Mr. Buck.
Mr. Buck, as the case may be, depends. This song is called Riding with the Blues.
Old blues likes to ride in my Cadillac. Likes to get up in front and ease down the back. Slide over here, baby. This ain't what you think. Old blues gonna drive while I get us a drink. Now, baby, you can ride with me. Well, I hope you don't mind me.
So real quick, Julianne, thumbs up or down for Rye Cooter fans? Are they gonna like this?
Yes, this is classic. I'm feeling it.
Classic Cooter. You heard it here from Julianne Shepherd, senior editor of The Fader, helping us navigate today's new Music Tuesday. Thank you, ma'am, for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
That does it for this hour of the Bryant Park Project. You know that we don't go away online. We're there all the time at npr.org/Bryant Park. I'm Rachel Martin.
And I'm Mike Peskett. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.
Always has better.
better give them the slip. Tell them you've been down on a high school field.